Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Thank you, Dave. Good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to be with you here today on the show. We've got a great show for you today. Lots of good guests on the program. We have Kevin Vost continuing his series on the Holy Spirit. In addition, we have Sister Ann Shields who's going to be joining us. She is a popular host. You hear her every day with her program Food for the Journey on Holy Spirit Radio. Let's kick things off as we do each day with prayer. Today, we'll pray our morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in thanksgiving for your favors, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all my relatives and friends, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father. Amen. Well, amen. That was a really smooth opening today. Dave Parker, thanks for jumping in. My headphones weren't working when the show started.
and Gary had, oh my goodness. So I greeted the world.
You did. You did a good job, too. Frank Eliason is here behind the scenes getting things to work. So now we are back. We're up and running.
Yeah, the one thing we don't like is silence.
That's right. Yeah, that doesn't work too good on the radio. But
thank you, Brian.
We are here. We're great. We're glad to be here. Dave, how was your weekend?
It was good, Gary. It was. Beautiful weather.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're going to have a great day today, too.
Well, I was going to say, you know what? This is a true harbinger of spring. It was so sunny and bright, and we're south-facing our front window, and I went to pull one of the shades down, and guess what I saw in our front garden?
What did you see in your front garden?
I saw a robin.
Oh.
And then I told Barbara that, and she said, well, they're always around.
My daughter was in your front yard?
Yeah, I was wondering why. I said, where? Frank can't be too far behind. Anyways, and that was good, Frank. That even threw me. All right, come on. Anyway, so Barbara, okay. My wife said,
yes.
Oh, yeah, they're always around. But yes, it's February. Usually I'm waiting for like mid-March to see a robin. That's what they say. That's maybe an old wives' tale.
Yeah.
And you see your first robin, well, you know, it's spring.
Yeah, and you know what I noticed, too, when I was coming up to the station? I get here very early, as you guys know, but it was looking a little brighter than normal today. So the sun's rising a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We're headed in the right direction.
Yes, we are.
You're very jovial today, Mr. Parker. I don't know why.
Well, with a start like that, it gets the adrenaline going.
I don't know if that's
going,
a good thing, because what I'm saying is not particularly funny at the
but
moment. I mean, it's okay to laugh at jokes, but I'm not being funny, and you're laughing.
I still have that vision of you at the
You know what this reminds me of? Now, tomorrow we're broadcasting, we're doing a remote live broadcast from my alma mater, Archbishop Ryan High School.
Yes.
This reminds me of my French teacher, Father Leonard. And Father Leonard used to say when somebody was laughing, are you laughing with me or at me?
Do you want me to answer that?
Well, here's what happened. The student would always say, with you, Father. He would say, but I'm not laughing.
Okay.
So that's not good. So, Dave, are you laughing at me?
I'm just laughing with you. With
are
the
you
situation?
Just laughing for no reason, which is not good?
Really, something in my coffee. No. No, I have the vision of you at the opening. You know, that's an...
The vision of it.
Yeah, like, ah!
Yes.
And I had the mics on, and there we go, folks. And Gary's like...
Yeah,
I never saw
right.
you. You were
well,
kind of
I heard
speechless.
Nothing in my headphones.
I know you were speechless.
Nothing. So, yeah, but it's so, all good now.
Okay, I'll erase that
well,
visual.
It didn't help that the wire was being pulled by me across.
Yeah, exactly.
We always
right
have
across his head.
And I'm trying to signal to these guys that I'm not hearing anything, so I'm going pointing to my head saying.
You look like a NFL referee.
Oh, my gosh.
On a bad play.
Oh, right. Well,
and you say you want video.
That's right. Well, right. Sometimes video might work because I could use sign language when my when my microphone.
Okay, I'll on. Erase that visual, and we'll. Hey, want to start over? Hey, bring in the music. We'll start over. Okay.
But it is really. I'm really happy today that we have Kevin Vost coming back on with us to continue that series mm-hmm. about the Holy Spirit, and we got Sister Ann Shields with us this morning.
Oh, I can't
morning.
Wait.
She is. She has one of the most popular programs on Holy Spirit Radio, mm. Food for the Journey. She does it each day in the 3 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
What a great program.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm glad to be able to have her come on the show this morning.
I love her because, I mean, she tells it like it is, but
yep.
so gently sometimes. Most of the time is gentle, but she has so many zingers. of truth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, wow. You're right, sister.
And what she does is, and we'll talk about this when she comes on the air, she takes the scriptures and she shows how much they apply to our lives.
Absolutely.
I think, and I've heard sister say this before, there's a disconnect in the lives of many Catholics mm-hmm. between the Bible and their daily lives.
Yeah, well
said. In other words, the Bible is not applicable. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really help, but yet it really does. That's mm-hmm. the Lord talking to us, mm-hmm. and we can take his word and apply it to our lives.
Absolutely. And she has the gift to bring it down, and again, in a gentle way. But I mean, it's sometimes it's so profound, you think, wow, what did she just say? I like to be able to rewind that.
Right.
You know,
right.
And hear it again.
That's right. That's right. Now, in our case, sometimes we say, what did we just say? Yeah, but it's not profound.
Yeah, and we don't want to rewind it.
That's right. That's right. Hey, by the way, you know what?
What?
Frank's here. I want to just say kudos to Frank Eliason for putting together that Best Of program Saturday.
Yes.
He did a compilation program. Amazing. Took some of our best interviews and put them together. Frank, I mean, really, really good work with that for our show that we air on Saturday at noon.
Well, I think, the Saturday show to me is a great way to bring people into Spirit in the Morning, understand what we're about. And one of the things is each day we have some great interviews and we have to sit there and choose what's the best of this week.
Right.
The fact is that's really difficult. Some weeks it's not just one show. There's mm-hmm. a bunch of interviews. Yeah. There's a mm-hmm. bunch of great music. And so if we sometimes put it together and it takes a little bit of work, mm-hmm. it can make a lot of fun. I'm working on one because you'll be traveling this Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So while you're traveling, I'm working on a really cool one if it all comes together. Maybe. Shouldn't make promises like that, but there's going to be a really cool one that we'll play this Wednesday.
Right? We think it's going to work really well.
At least someone does.
You know,
we know you'll love it.
You know, I don't know if this is just me, Dave, but in that Best Of compilation that Frank did for Saturday,
yes.
There was very little Gary Zimek and Dave Parker in that.
Well, that is the one thing I did notice. Yeah.
And it was a really good show. Yeah. Hey, I don't know if I should be pointing that out.
You started off, you said a prayer, Gary, and that was about enough. It. That's about all you got out of the mix.
But seriously, great work, Frank, and I think that's, it was a lot of work, and we appreciate what you did with that.
And we had, well, it was the replay of Kelly.
Kelly Wahlquist, Megan Coakley. Yeah. And Chris Stepien.
It was great compilation. And the last one that I did a compilation for was a lot of fun, too, because that week was just filled with great guests. So I think what we're going to do is try and find a way to post both of these to Spirit in the Morning so people can hear those shows.
Yes, very good.
Great. Well done,
but
brother.
Great job, Frank. Thank you for that. Let's do the gospel right now. Gospel's a little bit longer than normal today. We go to Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. As Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John and approached the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. Immediately on seeing him, the whole crowd was utterly amazed. They ran up to him and greeted him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I have brought to you my son possessed by a mute spirit. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they were unable to do so." Jesus said to them in reply, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw the boy into convulsions. As he fell to the ground, he began to roll around and foam at the mouth. Then he questioned his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" The father replied, "Since childhood. It has often thrown him into fire and into water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, anything is possible. Everything is possible to one who has faith." Then the boy's father cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Jesus, on seeing a crowd rapidly gathering, rebuked the unclean spirit and said to it, "Mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Shouting and throwing the boy into convulsions, it came out. He became like a corpse, which caused many to say he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. When he entered the house, the disciples asked him in private, "Why could we not drive the spirit out?" Jesus said to them, "This kind can only come out through prayer."
Wow.
Dave, we got a lot going on in that gospel today. And of course, the disciples are coming down from the mountain. They just experienced the transfiguration, this revelation of Jesus in his glory. Now here they are into the midst of, thrown into the midst of a really tough situation. We've got a demonic possession going on here. The disciples tried to drive out the evil spirit. They couldn't do it. Jesus had to get involved. And essentially, what's happening here is, what I really like about this story is the father of the child comes to Jesus, and pretty much he's a little tentative there. Jesus, if you can do this, you know, the faith is a little wavering. And Jesus replies, if you can. In other words, are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you believe in me or not?
Well, I've heard that you could do some stuff, so maybe if you could just kind of help out here.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And bam, and Jesus.
but the faith is the faith is a little weak on the father's part, obviously, but he had faith enough to really, to go to Jesus.
Exactly.
So he didn't have no faith. He had some faith. He still went to him, but he was wavering a little. And notice that Jesus didn't say, forget it. Your faith isn't strong enough. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I'm moving on.
He kind of pushed him a little bit, and he said, "What do you mean? If you can, everything is possible to the one who has faith." And then it seems like the father was inspired by those words.
Exactly. I was going to point that out. I mean, that's the crux of the of that passage. I think, you know, we all have doubts.
Yes.
And that's the whole point. And Jesus is talking to all of each one of us, basically.
And what the man said was, well, I do believe, but help my unbelief.
He
recognized that he had some unbelief, and he asked the Lord to increase his faith.
Yeah, that little smidgen of doubt, or maybe many smidgens of doubt that we have sometimes, because our fear, our anxiety takes us over, and we have to stop.
Correct.
This weekend, I was praying for some issues in the family where we need the Lord's help. You know, and I was thinking of that. I said, Lord, I know you can do this. I just know you can do it. Yep. I believe.
Right.
You know, I was trying to get the devil, get the that doubt out of my head.
And that's good. But sometimes, you know, you read a story like this, you read this gospel, you see the miracles, and you feel very strong. And then reality sets in, and you look at your problems again, and you begin to panic. That's when you go back to the Lord in prayer. Jesus talked about, he ended this gospel passage talking about the importance of prayer.
Yes.
And what a great prayer. Lord, help my unbelief. Increase my faith.
Exactly.
Great message. Boy, that was powerful. Good stuff. I love reading these gospel passages. Really
Me
good
too.
Stuff. Hey, I hear my music, so that means we're going to take our first break. 7:12 on Spirit in the Morning. When we come back, Dr. Kevin Vost, he's going to talk about the gift of counsel. Don't go anywhere.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for February 20th. Today we celebrate Blesseds Jacinta and Francisco Marto. Those of us of certain age can vividly recall the rich story of Fatima we learned about as children. That story begins in 1917, outside the town 100 miles or so north of Lisbon. It was a time of great turmoil in Portugal and in the rest of Europe as well. In May 1917, as they played and minded their sheep, the Blessed Mother appeared to Francisco and Jacinta Marto, 9 and 7 years old, respectively, and their cousin, Lucia de Santos, who was 10. Mary asked the children to return to the cave on the 13th day of each month for the next half year. At each visit, she asked them to learn to read and write and to pray the rosary for sinners, for world peace, and for the conversion of Russia. Within 2 years of the apparitions, Francisco was dead of influenza. Jacinta's death followed soon after. Their cousin Lucia survived to adulthood and became a Carmelite nun. She was still living in 2000 when Jacinta and Francisco were beatified by Pope John Paul II. Sister Lucia died in February 2005 at age 97. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is
was Holy Spirit by Francesca Battistelli. I'm Gary Zimak. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. Thanks for hanging out with us. We are, boy, I love this series we've been doing with Dr. Kevin Vost about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And of course, this series is based on his book, The Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit, Every Spiritual Warrior's Guide to God's Invincible Gifts. Probably, I would say, the best book on the Holy Spirit that I've ever read. I've always struggled with the Holy Spirit, understanding him, understanding the gifts. A lot of them, in my mind, have always been vague, but this book has really brought it to life for me, really helped me to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Vost is on the line with us right now. Kevin, good morning. How are you? Dr. Vost?
Hello?
Is Dr. Vost there? Okay, for some reason, we have a bit of... Well, we know he's on the line somewhere. We just got to get him in with us. But today, once we get the phone connection working, we will be talking about the gift of counsel. So, Dr. Vost, are you there? No, we're still working on that. We know he's on standby, but we're trying to get... Dr. Vost, are you there? All right, we're going to try one more time. But as I said, we will be discussing today, once we get Kevin on the line, we'll be talking about the gift of counsel. We've gone through many of the gifts of the Holy Spirit so far. It's been excellent. We have looked at the fear of the Lord. We've looked at piety. We've looked at knowledge. We've looked at fortitude. And now we will be looking at the gift of counsel. So I'm anxious to get him on the line. Obviously, but because this is one of those gifts that can be somewhat confusing to us, and the gift of counsel. Wait a minute, do we have him? Kevin, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me, Gary?
Oh, yes, I can. Boy, I was dying, Kevin. we were trying to get you hooked up here.
Oh, and I could hear you too. So I was just hoping this would work. So
yeah,
thank God.
You knew I was in trouble, brother, right?
No, you did a great job of setting things up.
Hey, thanks. I want to ask you briefly before we start. You had a good weekend. You were speaking at a conference over the weekend, correct?
Oh, this one I was just attending with another author friend of mine.
Oh, okay, you were attending it. Okay.
Yeah, in St. Louis, Missouri, they have a wonderful Catholic men's conference. There's about 100 miles from where I live in Springfield, so we were really fired up after that one.
Oh, great. And I know Shane's been on the show. He's a good friend as well. And you guys are a good team. You've done some stuff together.
Yeah, we had. So it was a great joy. Shane was there with his son and about 1,000 other Catholics from St. Louis area and southern central Illinois, so it was really a great time.
Very good. Well, Kevin, let's continue our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've gone through four of them so far, and we're up to counsel. And I have to admit, counsel is one that I struggle with a little bit. Could you briefly tell us the gift of counsel? What is it?
Sure. And I'll kind of follow St. Thomas Aquinas.
Okay.
Because he differentiates it from the virtue of prudence.
Mm-hmm.
And the natural virtue of prudence is a practical wisdom. It's the virtue that we use to kind of find the right means to achieve our goals. You know, we want to do the right things. We want to live a life, you know, honoring God that will draw us towards him in heaven. So how do we do that? How do we cope with the important decisions in our life? You know, what kind of important life choices should I make to live out the Christian life? So that prudence is where we go use our practical reason to try to find the right way to figure out what's going to happen if we do this or that. There's a related natural virtue called eubulia from the Greek, or good counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Part of being practically wise is we need to be open to getting good advice from other people who can also help us, you know, if we can't figure it out on our own. But now this gift of the Holy Spirit relates to finding the right means to live a holy life, but the counsel comes not through our own reason, but directly from the Holy Spirit. It's special insight from the Holy Spirit in the most important decisions in our lives,
mm-hmm.
and whereas as people, you know, we can't know all the contingencies that could operate when we make a certain choice in our life. But the Holy Spirit does know all. So the insight we're going to give him from the Holy Spirit, you know, is going to be a perfect insight. And at times, the Holy Spirit might also use the gift of counsel to guide us to other people here on earth to seek counsel from, like a spiritual director.
So in essence, counsel, the gift of counsel, is really the counsel that I get from the Holy Spirit. If I don't know how to act in a particular situation, I'm going to the Holy Spirit, and he's counseling me, correct?
That's right. You're going for his direct counsel. He's going to lead you to the right person. So it is. You know, you have a very difficult decision. You've tried everything you can to figure out the right course of action. It's still not clear, you know, so you reach out to the Holy Spirit and pray for that special insight that will come from the Holy Spirit himself.
And you have a quote in your book that it's from John of St. Thomas, the gift of counsel is like the prudence of the Holy Spirit. I like that.
That's right. So that's the thing, too, you know, where we tried the best with our own reason. Well, maybe we can't decide which direction to go in, but there's that Holy Spirit. We're surrendering to Him, letting the Holy Spirit's, you know, infallible wisdom guide us.
Now, Kevin, what could block the gift of counsel from really working in our lives? I know with all of these gifts, there are certain impediments that get in the way. What potentially could hurt our listening to the Holy Spirit and really taking advantage of His gift of counsel?
Sure, and there's, you know, many possible ways. Probably in our modern world, it's more just kind of like all the other competing voices. You know, the story of Elijah in the first book of Kings
right. Goes
up on Mount Horeb, and there's these powerful winds that are destroying everything, a great fire, a mighty earthquake, and he's listening for God and the Holy Spirit. But then it says, you know, the Holy Spirit comes to him in a gentle whisper or a still, small voice. Mm-hmm. So I think part of the lesson to us is sometimes we need to turn off all the noises and distractions, give ourselves, you know, periods of silence and reflection
right. So
we can hear that stirring of the Holy Spirit within us so it's not drowned out by all the competing voices of the world.
And there certainly are a lot of competing voices, and we live in a very noisy world, so that's challenging, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And along these lines, I'll just give one anecdote. There was an Italian Cardinal Martini mm-hmm. That did a series of Latin lectures on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he revealed at one point that he had counseled over 1,000 young people trying to discern their vocation.
Mm-hmm.
And he said many of them were mired in procrastination. And he said, if you're just sitting there not making a decision, you may not be availing yourself of that gift of the Holy Spirit. So he gave them two practical words of advice.
Mm-hmm.
He said, one, turn off the television for 1 year. And again, this is before the age of computers.
Yeah,
even.
Wow.
But yeah, remove all those distractions. And then he said, I'm sure something is dear to your heart, Gary. He said, to banish from their hearts each anxiety and anguish about the future. So turn off the competing voices. Give up that anxiety. Trust in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, it had amazing results for them in being able to discern their vocation. And they also said the easier part was turning off the television. The more difficult part was giving up those fears and anxieties.
Wow. And, you know, in your book, and this really touched me, you're right, because I speak so much about overcoming anxiety, and I'm an anxious person by nature, so anytime I see the word anxiety in my spiritual reading, it always gets my attention. You said in your book, when we refuse to distress ourselves over the future, we better submit ourselves to the will of God and the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Brother, I have to say, that blew me away. And what I like about your comment there, you say, when we refuse to distress ourselves over the future. So in other words, we bear some responsibility when we worry. Sometimes we think worry is involuntary, but there's something we can do about it, isn't there?
That's right, Gary. And I share with you a tendency, you know, to anxiety. But that is one thing we can learn. Of course, we're going to submit to God and the Holy Spirit. But yes, there is a role we can play, you know, through training ourselves, you know, day by day. There are ways that we can take some charge here and just say, no, I'm not going to let anxiety conquer me. There are ways I can trust in God to dampen that over time.
And I think if we refuse to do that, Kevin, if we refuse to trust in God, especially with the future, because many people are distressed about the future, they're not willing to submit to the Lord's will. If we refuse to trust Him, oftentimes we're going to thwart His effort to work in our lives, aren't we?
That's exactly right. We're going to trust God. You know, maybe difficulties may come our way, but we're also going to trust God that He'll give us what it takes to deal with those when they arrive.
Right, and I love today's gospel when Jesus talked to the man whose child was affected by, was possessed by a demon, and he basically went up to Jesus and said, well, if you can, you can heal my child. And Jesus said, what do you mean, if you can? But then the man said, Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief. So he was acknowledging that he had some weakness in trusting the Lord.
That's exactly right, and that's what this gift of counsel is too, realizing we can't always figure it out ourselves. But God is always there, willing, if we ask Him, to help us.
Yeah, I like that. And in your book, you have a prayer by St. Alphonsus Liguori, grant me the spirit of counsel that I may ever choose the surest way of pleasing God and gaining heaven. Amen. That's a prayer that, Kevin, that the Lord is going to answer, isn't it? If we're asking for the spirit of counsel to guide us to do His will, He's not going to say, no, sorry, you do it yourself.
That's right. It's guaranteed. You're going to get an answer, but you have to then set yourself up to listen for it.
Yes. And then we get back to that unplugging from the world again, from the noise of the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's challenging. Boy, I am loving this series. I'm going to be sad when it comes to an end. I like the fact that we're taking these 1 week at a time. And thank you, Kevin, for joining us for all of these weeks to talk about these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Would you remind us where we could follow you online and where is the best place to purchase the book?
Sure. My own website's drvost.com, just drvost.com. And the book is from Sophia Institute Press, and it can be obtained, you know, hopefully through your local Catholic bookstore or a variety of, internet sites.
And we will have your information linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Dr. Kevin Vost, as always, thank you so much for joining us, and look forward to continuing this next week.
Oh, me too. Thank you, and God bless.
God bless you. Dr. Kevin Vost joining us, drvost.com, drvost.com, is the place to go to find out more about him. When we come back from the break, we're going to have Sister Ann Shields joining us. So make sure you don't go anywhere. I had a gulp. I'm getting so excited. I'm getting speechless. Not good for a radio host. Man, I love that interview with Kevin.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Once we got him on the air, everything was great.
But yeah, I know.
But this is so good.
Not to worry, Gare.
That's right. So
we
good.
Have Frank.
It's so good to understand these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
You're here
it
today,
gives
Frank.
Us a lot of confidence when we face the challenges of life. So right now the time is 7:30. When we come back from the break, Sister Ann Shields will be joining us, and we will be talking about the importance of applying the message of Scripture to your daily life. Grab a cup of coffee. We'll be back.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Downplaying an idea once floated by President Donald Trump when he was still a candidate, U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis says Iraqi oil is safe from U.S. seizure. Mattis arrived today on an unannounced visit to Iraq as the battle to oust Islamic State militants from Western Mosul moved into its second day. The Homeland Security Department says it's ready for a big crackdown on immigrants living in the U.S. illegally. DHS has drafted sweeping new guidelines aimed at aggressively detaining and deporting suspects. DHS Secretary John Kelly says, quote, "The surge of illegal immigration at the southern border has overwhelmed federal agencies and resources and has created a significant national security vulnerability," end quote. And Norma McCorvey, whose legal challenge under the pseudonym Jane Roe led to the Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion, but who later became a Christian and pro-life activist, has died. She was 69. McCorvey died on Saturday in an assisted living center in Katy, Texas, said journalist Joshua Prager, who is working on a book about McCorvey and was with her and her family when she died. He said she died of heart failure and had been ill for some time. McCorvey's lawsuit, known of course as Roe v. Wade, led to the Supreme Court's 1973 ruling that created a constitutional right to abortion. Decades after the Roe v. Wade decision, McCorvey became an evangelical Christian and joined the pro-life movement. She later became Roman Catholic. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need. once more. The grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Lord, I need you by Matt Maher. What a great message. Great reminder for all of us. We certainly need the Lord every day. My name is Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Right now, a brief look at today's weather. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, it's 44 degrees. Today it's going to be sunny with a high near 57. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 35. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 54. So we got some great weather headed our way. All right, I'm very excited for our next guest to come on the program. Sister Ann Shields is the host of the very popular program on Holy Spirit Radio, Food for the Journey, which airs during the 3 o'clock hour each day. Sister is here, and we're going to talk about the importance of sacred scripture and how it really does apply to our lives. Sister Ann, are you there?
I am here.
So good to hear you. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
You're very welcome.
All right, sister, you have been known to say that for many Catholics, and I can say personally in my life this is the case, there is a disconnect between sacred scripture and their daily lives.
Yes.
What's the problem, sister, and how important is it to be able to read and apply the Bible to our lives?
Well, the Word of God is living. Scripture tells us the Word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can penetrate our lives in a way that it separates bone from marrow. So I think this is something we want to pay attention to. And as Catholics, I think it, over the years, has fallen into a secondary position. I know many Catholics who are at Mass every Sunday, and they say, well, I hear the Word of the Lord then. But it should be a daily part of our diet. I think it would be very, very strange if we said to ourselves, well, I don't have any time to drink water this week. I'm too busy. If we do that, we would be in a very bad position by the end of the week. And I think you can just take that analogy and develop it in terms of Scripture. The Word of God is living. This is God's word to us. This is God's guidance to us, his inspiration to us. It imparts hope. It imparts faith. It gives us grace and courage to love our enemies and to do good to those who persecute us, et cetera, et cetera. So the Word of God is essential for our lives. It's not just a nice, pious thing to do, but we should be reading the Word of God every day.
In your own personal experience, sister, was that always the case? Did you always have a love for the Word of God?
Absolutely not.
Very interesting.
Let me, can I tell you in brief what happened?
I would love to hear it.
Because this is one of those stories where God surprises you and He intervenes.
Mm-hmm.
I was, at the time, serving, I was working at Franciscan University of Steubenville in Ohio, and I was praying one day, and I had been, over a number of years, I had been reading Scripture a little more. Some of it had to do with my studies, but there was definitely a reading of Scripture. But one day, while I was in one of the dormitory chapels, I was just sitting there praying before the tabernacle. No one else was there.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading a passage in John where Jesus says, "Love one another as I have loved you." And I thought, oh, it really hit me to love as He loves. And I said, I can't.
Hmm.
I can't do this on my own power.
Right.
I can't love like you love. And it was a sense, not a word audibly,
right,
but a sense in me, eat my word. And I said, right, I do. I need to. Mm-hmm. I need to eat your word. I need to make it part of me. It needs to be part of my daily diet, my daily supply of nutrition. And I was saying these things, Lord, and again, eat my word. And I said, yes, Lord, that is what I want to do. Now, there's no audible voice, but I was having this private dialogue. And I just sat there, and I said, yes, Lord, I do want to eat your word. And it was so insistent, eat it. And I said to the Lord, eat it, eat it. So, thank God no one else was there. I got up, I got a pair of scissors, and I cut out that verse.
Wow.
From the Scripture, and I put it in my mouth, and I chewed it, and I swallowed it. I don't think I digested it, but I chewed it, and I swallowed it, and things really began to change. So the word became the word, what it's intended to be, the source of wisdom, the source of love, the source of understanding, of coming into a deeper and deeper relationship with God. So that's, in a nutshell, what happened.
Wow.
And that was back in the 1970s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the treasure of my life. Apart from the Eucharist, it's the treasure of my life.
And you do such a great job applying the message contained in Scripture on your program. And I would highly recommend to anyone listening who is not a regular listener of Sister Ann's program, it airs during the Holy Hour at 3 o'clock on Holy Spirit Radio each day. Sister, what would you say to the person, because I was this person for many years, who states that I can't understand Scripture. I'm not smart enough. It's too complicated for me. What would you say to that person?
Well, the first thing I'd say is pray to the Holy Spirit, because the Lord wants you to understand His Word.
Mm-hmm.
I think reading a good Scripture commentary, this is not a formal advertisement, but Magnificat magazine does a beautiful job of giving us the Scriptures for the day.
Right.
But first of all, having a Bible, go out and buy a Bible. I'd recommend the Revised Standard Version Catholic Edition.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the best that I've encountered personally, and it has lots of commentary and footnotes, and it can be very, very helpful to you. But I think just simply sitting before the Lord and just say, Lord, help me to understand. That's a part of it. We do need study, absolutely, but
right,
part of it is really entering into what God wants to give us as a gift, to be a map, to help us and to empower us to live out His Word. So it would take a half hour to answer your question, but that's in a nutshell, that's what I'd say.
Well, that's a great start, and I think the one thing that you emphasize is the one thing we often forget, ask for help. And we saw that in today's gospel from Daily Mass, where the man went to Jesus, his faith was obviously a little lacking, but he said, I do believe, but help my unbelief.
Unbelief.
Right?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And so many people, I think, well, I guess I just don't believe or I don't have faith. No, we're all weak. Right. Every one of us is weak. Right. And Scripture is one of the key ways that God wants to feed us. So just come ahead and just say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to understand. Show me the way. Check online. There are very, very good Catholic Scripture resources that can be very, very helpful to you.
And I think that's great advice. And I think the idea of looking at the daily Mass readings, that's why I like when you do that each day. That's a great way to start reading the Bible. And I always
that's
tell people, right? I always tell people that start with the daily Mass readings. Let the Church lead you through sacred Scripture.
That's good. That's a good approach. Yes.
I'm sorry, sister, we have about 3 minutes left. I just, and again, this is a really big topic to tackle right now, but I know that the Holy Spirit is very important to you, and you follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. How important is it to do that? We talk a lot about the Holy Spirit here. Obviously, we're Holy Spirit Radio. How important is it to let the Holy Spirit work in your life, and how can we better do that?
Well, first of all, I think we have to realize God has given us the gift of His Spirit. Right. So we would be fools, I think, literally fools, mm-hmm. to say, I don't need it. The Holy Spirit, the best way that I define, the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and Son, a love so great that it is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. And that I'm touching on a mystery now here, and I don't have time to take this apart. But what I want to say to everyone is, by baptism, by the graces of the gifts of confirmation, those two sacraments, the Holy Spirit dwells in each one of us. And the Holy Spirit is there to lead us safely home to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Holy Spirit who inspires, who enlightens, gives us wisdom and understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge. Mm-hmm. This is the Holy Spirit, and you want to welcome the Holy Spirit. Each of us wants to welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives. The gift, Father Michael Scanlon, a priest who just died recently, mm-hmm. he used to say, he said, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are like it's Christmas time and their gifts are all wrapped and they're on the shelf in a closet. And every once in a while, as we're getting ready for Christmas, we open the door and we say, oh, those gifts look beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, this is great. And then we close the door again.
Mm.
We never take the gifts down. We never open them. We never learn what it is that God wants to give us. God desires union with each one of us. Sinful and weak though we are, if we're repentant for our sins, he longs for union with us. It's the greatest love story there is. From our human perspective, it's the greatest love story that God would want to dwell with me, and he does. And his word is one of the pathways to receive that. But also asking God every day, let the gifts of my baptism and my confirmation come alive in me. We can be given the gifts, but if we don't exercise our free will and if we don't seek to understand what we've been given, we don't receive all that God has for us.
Wow. Sister Ann, thank you so much for joining us. We've got to get you back on to talk more about this. Would you come on someday again?
Yes, certainly.
Thank you so much. Sister Ann Shields, you can listen to her every day during the Holy Hour at 3 p.m. We'll be right back.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Try.
This Time by Britt Nicole. Great message. And that song is based on some experience that she was going through with the divorce of her parents. And it's a tough song, but the reminder for all of us is God was not only with her, but he's with us no matter what we are going through. That's something I would encourage you to think about today as you go, you know, about your day, as you encounter the different problems that you will experience. He's with you. He's there. As I always tell you at the end, turn around and say hi. I really mean that. He is there. The trick for us is to remember that he is always there. I want to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Today it comes from St. Paul's letter to Philemon. Very, very short letter. Not typically where you would go to for your Be Not Afraid inspiration. But here's what Paul said, Philemon 1:4. I give thanks to my God always, remembering you in my prayers. And I took this, as I do all these meditations, from my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. And the point I made in the book, and this is, I think, something that you should think about today, is that what Paul is doing is thanking God for his friend Philemon. And if you look in your life, look back over the course of your life, you're going to remember that there have been certain people there for you who would, you know, those people who just come along at the right time. Dave, I'm sure you've encountered this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Somebody who just happens to be there and just knows the right thing to say to you.
Exactly, yes.
And the Lord will send us these people. And oftentimes, I'm sure you've seen this, Dave, he speaks through very unlikely people.
Oh, yes.
And you'll get a comforting message from someone that you wouldn't ordinarily think of. As being, I've had people who aren't even overly spiritual who the Lord has spoken through.
Exactly. I've had similar occurrences, if you will. And then I'm left to think, wow, thank you, Lord. How did this happen?
Right.
You know, and you were speaking. I really had it in my soul, in my heart, that, wow, this person's in my life for a reason.
Yes, and I would encourage you to think back on those people, thank God for them, pray for them, ask the Lord to bless them, and then be assured that in the future, going forward in the future, those people might be completely different people, they will be there when you need them. And as I'm saying this, I call to mind when our girls, Mary and Elizabeth, were born, it was really touch and go for a long time, but once they were born, Elizabeth had to have some surgery over at Children's Hospital in Philly, and Eileen and I were sitting in the waiting room, and it was a very difficult, she had to have heart surgery when she was a month old. It was a difficult time. There was a lady in the waiting room who, the message was incredible. Haven't seen her since, don't know who she was. She was there for her grandson, I think. She told us, she gave us Eileen and I were really stressed out about the deal. Elizabeth was in surgery. And the lady said, basically, your child belongs to the Lord. She's not really yours. You're just babysitting her. And it was, Dave, it was something that, I mean, we didn't look for her to say this. She just said it to us. And it just really put things into perspective that Elizabeth, we realized, belonged to the Lord.
Yes.
And Eileen and I were just babysitting her. I mean, that's an incredible way to look at it. But it kind of relieved us and made us realize that the Lord's in charge of this situation.
Absolutely.
So we're
been
all
there.
Gonna, right.
Been there.
So we're going to have those people in our lives. Give thanks for them and realize that they will be there.
Well, I would say
future.
Barbara and my wife, early on in our, when we were dating, I can say, I mean, one specific time, and she was there for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to continue.
Thank you, Barbara.
Yeah. It's going to continue to happen. The Lord will send us the people that we need. Before we close in prayer, Dave, I want to take a quick look at sports. We only have a couple of minutes left. The Flyers won yesterday.
Woo-hoo!
The Flyers won.
Yay.
They salvaged a win in the final game of their road trip. They beat Vancouver 3-2. They play again on Wednesday night against Washington. Now, the Sixers are off because of the All-Star break. The Sixers don't play again until Friday. Big news in the All-Star game yesterday. The New Orleans Pelicans forward, Anthony Davis, finished the game with a record 52 points.
Wow.
He beat Wilt Chamberlain's old record of 42
Ooh,
points.
No. Oh, that guy.
So, yeah. Remember, we know him in this area, right?
Absolutely.
Some college news. Temple fell to UConn, 64
to 63 on Sunday. And then on Saturday, Villanova won. They beat the Seton Hall Pirates 92-70. LaSalle played Villanova on Saturday.
Okay.
LaSalle beat Villanova. I'm sorry. Did I say LaSalle? LaSalle played St. Joe's. That's what I meant to say. I'm trying to rush here. And they won. They actually blew them out 83-68.
Okay. We love W's.
That's right.
We want more in the W column.
That's right. So we're continuing to follow our sports teams. The Phillies are in spring training now. We'll keep you posted on them. Let's conclude with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, King of heaven and earth, direct our minds and bodies throughout this day and make us holy. Keep us faithful to your law and thought, word and deed. Be our helper now and always. Free us from sin and bring us to salvation in that kingdom where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning into the program today. Remember, tomorrow, Dave, I'm going back to school.
All right.
I'm bringing you with me, Dave.
take pictures, okay?
That's right. Back to school, going back to my alma mater, Archbishop Ryan High School. We'll be broadcasting live.
Well.
That's right. We'll be broadcasting live. Spirit of the Morning live, coming to you from Archbishop Ryan High School. Our guest by phone will be Dr. Greg Popcheck, and he's going to be talking about his new book, The Beatitudes. Right?
Yes.
So it has to do with how you can use the Beatitudes to be a good father. So Greg will be joining us. So it's going to be a good show. I hope you can tune in. Thank you for listening. Remember, you can follow us online at spiritinthemorning.com. As I always tell you, wherever you go today, whatever you do, God is with you. Turn around and say hi. Talk to you next time.